Welcome back, everybody. This is Mary Goyer, and this is the Pay It Forward for Pregnant Women Project. And I am here today with Julie Cottle. I'm really excited to, especially for those of you first-time mothers who have the glorious world of breastfeeding, the glorious and sometimes mysterious world to kind of dive into. And I've brought Julie on to give you a good head start. But let me tell you a little bit about Julie and we'll get her on to the mic. Julie is a naturopath. She calls herself, she's the mother's naturopath. And she comes to us all the way across the world, at least for me, in Australia. And she has a special interest specifically in fertility and in pregnancy care, birth prep, breastfeeding management, and so forth, and has well over a decade of clinical experience, and is currently completing her Master's of Health Science in Herbal Medicine. She's going to bring that in. So she's the founder of naturaltransition.com, and this is a website that provides information on, you know, being able to embrace motherhood naturally from conception through the baby's first year. So Julie, you're on the big mic. How are you?
Very well. Thank you, Mary. Thank you for having me as part of this wonderful, wonderful project that you've got started here.
Oh, you are welcome. It's such a thrill, and I love the fact that we're talking from across the world. It's a different day where you are compared to where I am.
It's yes.
Kind of amazing still to me.
It's exciting world we live in now, isn't it?
Yeah, and so what I'm really interested in is my first question has to do with, like, is there anything a mother can do to prepare ahead of time, you know, for a good start to breastfeeding? Like, you know, sometimes I think women think that, like, oh, I just have to deal with it when I get there, and that, you know, but do you, what do you think on that? Is there anything she can start doing right now?
Absolutely. I think that the more prepared you are when you're pregnant, before you're faced with sleep deprivation and breastfeeding problems, the better chance you have of being successful and being comfortable while you're learning to breastfeed. So I've got probably six top tips for things that you can do while you're pregnant. And in the early days of breastfeeding, to really set yourself up for the best possible chance of things working out easily for you. So my top tip would be to take a good breastfeeding education class or to read some really good breastfeeding information from a trusted source while you're pregnant. Learn exactly what you're up for. Keep in mind that breastfeeding is a learned skill. It's not something that comes easily to all mums. It's something that mums have to learn, and as well as something that the baby has to learn as well. So it's a skill that you're both learning together. It doesn't come easily for everybody. Some people are really lucky and it works out really easily for them, but most people find that they have some problems when they're first starting out, and particularly if it's your first time, it can be quite a daunting experience. So learn as much as you can beforehand. Probably the second thing would be to breastfeed your baby as soon as possible after the birth. So most newborns can be put to the breast within the first couple of minutes of birth, and you can actually allow your baby to just lay the baby on the chest and let the baby explore and find the breast on its own. It's quite a magical experience to do that. It's quite incredible. You can just lay baby on the chest and they will actually just use their hands to pour at the nipple, and they'll eventually find it and self-attach. Mm-hmm. And that process of using their hands to find the breast, it actually puts amniotic fluid onto the nipple, and that allows the baby to then find the nipple a little bit later on as well. So it helps to guide the baby to the breast using their sense of smell as well as the touch and the feel, and that can be really beneficial for the first little while of breastfeeding. So you can avoid having a shower, just shower the bottom half but not the top half after birth, and just allow that amniotic fluid to stay on the breast. It'll help baby to find the breast more easily in those first really crucial time after the birth. Keeping baby close to you in the first few days after the birth. Try, especially if you're in hospital, sometimes the hospitals will separate mums and babies still for no medical reason. You know, if there's a medical reason that baby needs to be in the intensive care, the special care unit, then you can try and be kept close to baby, but you know, you're not necessarily going to be able to stay together. But if there's no reason for medical separation, then keep your baby with you as close as possible, so that you can be responsive to baby's cues. As soon as you hear baby wake up, you'll be able to be right there for them. They won't get stressed, they won't get upset. It's more difficult for a baby to learn to breastfeed if they're upset and hungry, or you know, you don't want to let them get to the point where they're crying before you're trying to feed them. You want to be trying to feed them when both of you are
at ease and you're feeling pretty.
Another thing about keeping baby close is that it actually helps both mum and baby to get more rest. You get synchronized sleeping patterns. So you find that the baby starts waking for a feed, and the mother might still be asleep, but they sense that baby's getting restless, and mum might have a letdown. The milk might start flowing while she's still sort of coming out of asleep, and it's a very slow, gradual waking process rather than being abruptly woken up by somebody bringing the baby or baby to you and telling you it's time to feed. It means that you get much more of a restful waking rather than that kind of really nasty wake out of a deep sleep, which leaves you feeling more refreshed. Another really important thing would be to breastfeed according to need rather than according to timing. So we say don't watch the clock. Unrestricted breastfeeding is really important when you're establishing a good milk supply. And that means offering the breast whenever the baby shows signs of hunger throughout the day and throughout the night. So don't try to
establish a schedule is what I'm hearing you say.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, schedule can be a parenting choice for some people. They like to have a little bit of routine in their lives. But I do really encourage mums, just even if it's for the first 6 to 8 weeks, just while you're establishing your supply, if you can just really focus on letting the baby set the pace. Let the baby tell you how often they need to feed, how long they need to feed for, and just try and hand it all over to baby's appetite. You'll find that supply will be established more quickly, and you'll have less problems with under or over supply if you're feeding when the baby's hungry rather than, you know, the old 10 minutes aside every 4 hours or whatever it is that some people might tell you is the right thing to do. Just put the baby on when the baby seems restless, hungry, tired, needing comfort. Put the baby on. Let them tell you when it's time for them to come off. Offer them the other side if that's what's needed, and
I love what you're saying, Julie, because it really, the picture that you're painting to me is one of it not requiring this effort in sort of this kind of way where a lot of women, you know, try to like think things and figure things out, and there's like these ideas of like figuring out what's right and what's wrong and is this enough, is this too much, you know, like all it, and as you're talking about, just like just go base yourself off of the baby's cues. And then
yes,
you don't have
right.
to work and effort and try. You can just kind of go with the flow. And I'm sure that gives mothers more rest, too, because they're less stressed.
Yes. I find that that is definitely the case. Although some mums do really find it very difficult to hand over that control to the baby, I guess, to just let it all go. You know, you want to always do the best thing by your baby. You want to know that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Some mums find it really difficult to let that go, but it's part of the process, I think.
Uh-huh.
Good introduction to the parenting issues to come.
And so, This kind of leads me to my second question, which is, you know, like how does a mom know if she's just kind of going off of these very subtle instincts and cues from the baby, you know, how does she know if breastfeeding is working for her or not?
I think that if your baby seems relaxed at some point during the day, that's a pretty good sign that things are working, although it's certainly not the be-all and end-all. There's a little checklist of questions that I like to run through so that you know whether or not your baby is getting enough milk. A lot of mums really do like to measure what's going in. That's not possible with breastfeeding. It is one of the things that people really like about bottle feeding, but you can get a really good indication of whether your baby's getting enough milk. And if you just ask yourself those questions every time you're wondering if it's working, you'll know. So the most important one is your baby having enough wet nappies? So we'd be looking for 6 pale wet cloth nappies or 4 to 5 heavy wet disposable nappies in a 24-hour period. So usually I'll say to my mum, is your baby having lots of wet nappies? And they'll say, oh, yes, she's weeing every time I take the nappy off. So that's a great sign. I mean, even if you can't tell that there's a lot of urine in the nappy, if you're seeing that every time you take the nappy off, the baby's doing a wee, then that's a great sign that there's a lot going in. Looking at the colour of the urine, you want to be seeing urine that's a pale straw colour. If you're seeing bright yellow urine, then that's a sign that it's very concentrated and that your baby is probably not getting enough milk. But if it's a nice pale straw colour and large in volume, then that's a great sign that your baby's getting plenty of milk.
Okay.
The smell is another thing as well. If you smell a really strong urine-y smell, then that again means that it's quite concentrated and it's probably a good idea to just really start trying to increase the amount of milk that your baby's having. What else? Often mums think that if their baby is fussy and crying and upset all of the time, that that means that they're probably not getting enough. We look at a 24-hour period. It's very normal for a newborn to have periods of distress throughout the day. Most babies have at least one time during the day where they're really difficult to settle, and that can go on for hours. But if you're having some time during the day where baby is settled and content, then that's a really good sign that things are going well. Growth in length. A lot of caregivers focus a lot on the weight of the baby and how much weight the baby's gaining. This is pretty much considered now to be less reliable sign. So if it comes to the point where you're worried about your supply, you've sort of looked at the number of wet nappies and you're thinking it's not really enough, and you are concerned that your supply is not so good and you're thinking that you need to keep an eye on your baby's growth, look at whether your baby is growing in length and whether their head circumference is increasing rather than how much weight they're putting on, because it's really difficult to get an accurate measure of weight if you're using, particularly if you're using different scales. You have different calibrations on the scales that babies are being weighed on, different times in the day. You know, you might have just given them a feed and then weighed them for one time, and then the next time it might be 2 hours after a feed, or, you know, they might have a full bowel one time and then the next time they've just poo or something like that. So it's all
right.
When you're talking about, you know, 30 grams or 50 grams that you're looking for, those sorts of things can have quite a big impact on weight. So definitely look at length overweight. A lot of people get really distressed when they're told by their doctor that their baby's not putting on any weight. But, it's not always a panic sign.
That's not always the case. Yeah, that makes me think of, you know, like my mother used to be in Weight Watchers, and she would always schedule her meetings at the very beginning of the day when she weighed the least. So, yeah.
Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. This is so helpful. This is so great. Now, you know, you kind of mentioned earlier in the call, you know, that reading good books and, you know, like educating yourself with a good class or, you know, helpful literature online is important. You know, and so what can a mother do if she's worried about breastfeeding? Like, do you have some, you know, resources that you can point people towards?
Certainly. I think that the most important thing that a mum can do is to reach out for help as early as possible, even if you don't think it's a problem necessarily. If you're just worried about something, definitely reach out and talk to somebody about it. There are some really fantastic mother-to-mother support services around in Australia. We have the Australian Breastfeeding Association. In the rest of the world, I think the mother-to-mother support group is the Leleshi League. Those sorts of things can be fantastic. So those two organisations have 24-hour helplines that you can ring up and talk to a trained breastfeeding counsellor over the phone. And they can give you some advice on, you know, they can just talk and listen and give you advice on where to go from there. So that's a good first port of call. Of course, you've got friends that may or may not give you helpful advice, family, again, that may or may not give you helpful advice. But, you know, often they're good. It's good to just make contact with somebody and say, look, I'm struggling. Even if they haven't got really useful information for you, they might be able to offer you some support or at least a listening ear. But I think the most important thing is if you are having trouble, get some trained help, and that's where a private lactation consultant would come into it. So always look for an international board certified lactation consultant. That is the gold standard of breastfeeding help, and they're trained to help with breastfeeding problems. Any breastfeeding problem that you're having, they can specifically help you with that and provide really close ongoing support with you while you work through the issue. So I would encourage people to just Google international board certified lactation consultant in their area and see what they come up with. And a lot of the time you can get somebody to come and see you in your home, which is really, it's
really helpful.
Wonderful way to do it. Yeah, very much so. And the earlier that you can get on top of any breastfeeding problems, the better chance you have of having a really great outcome and getting rid of the problem as quickly as possible, overcoming the hurdles and getting on top of it all effectively. Yeah.
And you know, a lot of doulas, first of all, can you know, have those resources as far as local people that can come to your home, and certainly many doulas are also lactation consultants themselves. You know, that's one of the things that I'm noticing a lot of people are trained in. So you just provided a lot of ideas. Thank you for a full scope. If people are able to hire somebody personally, great. But if not, then you mentioned several other places to go. So thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. And Julie, if somebody wanted to learn more about you and, you know, just kind of what you offer and what how you can support, where can they go for that?
My website is naturaltransition.com. So pop along to the website. There's lots of information there about breastfeeding as well as pregnancy, birth preparation, and lots of information on natural therapies for baby's first year as well.
You've got a great blog there too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
If you've got any specific questions, I'm very happy for people to contact me, and I'll do my best to provide help online, email support. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, well, that's wonderful. So that's naturaltransition.com. I mentioned at the beginning too, but Julie does, she has a ton of resources there, and as I said, a good blog following, and with lots of good information on that. So, you know, do check that out if you're able, and find Julie at least online if you're not in her neck of the world. So. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking some time to be with us today. Appreciate it, Julie.
Thank you so much for having me, Mary. It's a fantastic project. I feel really, really happy to be part of it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. And thank you to all of you listening. You know, as always, I from my heart, just, you know, appreciate all of you that have been telling me that you are paying it forward and are sending, you know, your friends to listen to some of the calls that, you know, would be supportive of them. So you got some good gems, and Julie shared a lot of tips. If you got some good insights or found some interesting information and you'd like to share it with somebody, please send them to auparents.com. And they can register and get all of the information to all of the links, including this one with today's expert, Julie Cottle. So thanks, everybody. And this is Mary Goyer signing off, reminding you that it does change the world when you empower yourself during birth. So thanks so much and have a good one.